Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And this week, we are very happy to bring you a very special episode. This is our season finale for season 3, but more importantly, this day and this episode marks 1 year of Desi Outsiders.
And last year on this day, we released a very cringy pilot episode. Please don't go back and listen to that. Little did we know that back then, that in just 365 days, we turn into super cool, non-cringy, dope, rad, sick podcasting superstars with harmonious voices.
No more peacock voices. So, without further ado, let's jump right into the show. Exactly 1 year ago, on this day, we released this podcast into the world. And do you guys want to know when we recorded that pilot episode?
We recorded our pilot episode 2 whole months in advance. That's 60 days in advance. And that's because I wasn't aware that Ankita was and still is medically ill. She has this condition I like to call rigiditis, and it's a term I like to use when people are so obsessed with getting things done that they leave little room to maneuver, and I decided to just wait and see how things would pan out. But I'll be totally honest here, Ankita, I was extremely skeptical about how our partnership would work. Because at the time, when I tried to change or even slightly adjust an idea, Ankita's eyes would just glare at me, and I could sense a huge discomfort.
I really have no idea what you're talking about. It's like you're making things up about me. Who is this person? I feel like her.
This could be like a counseling session and I can just let it all out.
No, I totally get what you probably went through, because looking back, I feel like I suffered from rigiditis myself.
But we're here to tell you all about the journey we've had with the Desi Outsiders podcast, because looking back, we feel like we used to be infants, and now we are cool teenagers with a lot of swag, and one of us has better hair than the other and better looking sweaters. But that's just me stating the obvious here. I don't need to tell you that.
You're talking about me, right? Because you're the one who goes on and on about how my hair is so thick and you wish you had my kind of hair. Anyway, the story of Desi Outsiders and its birth, you know, it really is a long and I guess funny one. And I think for the benefit of our listeners, we should start from day one and bring you guys to where we are now. Because, well, this is literally the only time in this podcast where we will consciously embarrass ourselves.
Exactly, consciously. Because all those times when we did make a fool of ourselves over here 1 year ago, we thought we were pretty damn cool. So just make the most of this episode and sit back and enjoy what we have to give you. So back in 2016, when the idea of a podcast came about, and I'm sure Ankita has mentioned this like a million times because she's totally obsessed about the story of how we met, we really underestimated every bit of nitty-gritty work that goes into something like this. It really isn't as easy as speaking into a microphone, and it may come across as that when you just listen to an hour episode or a half an hour episode. So I think for the sake of all of you who are listening, or maybe even people who want to start a podcast, we want to go from day one and tell you all about it.
You know, when we started out initially, Desi Outsiders was not a three-member team as it is today. It was just me and Meenal, just the two of us, completely delusional and truly believing that we could do this without any assistance. And on top of that,
without any free assistance.
Without any free, that's what I was saying. The main point is that we were cheap. So we were delusional and we believed that we could do this without any help, and we were also cheap. So we went ahead and made a plan for our pilot episode. We found this free software online that will let you record audio into it directly or something and then combine it. And then we ended up installing this app on our really shitty smartphones. And we thought that, you know what, the smartphone microphone is going to act as our mics and we're going to just go ahead and record our episodes on this app, which we got for free.
So, come recording day, and there we were, sitting with our phones, and because obviously, as Ankita mentioned, we're cheap, this was a free app, so the app stopped the recording every 10 minutes, because it was free, and it would only let us record 10 minutes of audio at a time. So we both also had notebooks and pencils that day, and we were ready to mark these 10-minute timestamps, so we could send them over to a freelancer. Wow, we've said free a lot right now. Like,
to a freelancer. That's not how you say freelancer.
So we sent them over to a freelancer who was literally working for us for free, because most freelancers don't work for free. Because, well, again, we're cheap. So, by the way, we're still cheap 1 year on, considering how Shane edits a podcast for free, and that hasn't changed.
Anyway, this guy, this freelancer that we found for free on the internet, he just glued everything together. Like all these timestamps, the 10-minute audio files that we sent to him, he just glued everything together with the mistakes and everything, and he sent it over to us. And it sounded like a broken record. And we went at it again because we thought that if we make less mistakes, then just stitching everything together would be fine. So we went at it again. And again, until one day, Shane just got tired of listening to me in my closet and walked in asking us to stop doing this because he was feeling tired. It's like how I say I'm tired of Meenal's medical degree. That's how Shane came in and said, I'm so tired of you recording this podcast episode again and again and again.
You know, Ankita, until then, Shane to me was just like that lady in Tom and Jerry. I only heard his voice and maybe I'd see his arm reach out to help you fix your recording device, but I never saw his face. And I only saw him maybe in the fifth recording or so when the three of us were much more comfortable with joking around with each other. But this whole time, Shane was just like that woman in Tom and Jerry. Does she have a name, by the way?
I don't really know. Maybe our listeners can tell us if she has a name. But now we know what most of our guests think of Shane as well, because to them, he never comes in the frame, right?
Yeah.
They just hear this voice. Like suddenly there's a male voice in the room who's giving them instructions on how to set up their equipment. Anyway, so Shane came in and he said that, you know, you guys have to get proper mics. And then he said he actually agreed to get involved with this whole thing. Reluctantly, he was not a part of the AC Outsiders in the beginning. And we were like, oh, we're going to be able to do this on our own. So Shane had to come in the end. And we found out for the first time on that day that he knew how to edit audio. He knew all along. And he decided to tell us only at 4 a.m. when we'd gone through multiple reruns of that same pilot episode.
You never asked me, you little shits.
Anyway, so the next day, I ordered a mic from Amazon. And I got, like, this fancy mic. And then Mira's a student, so she can't order a proper mic.
I still can't.
Yeah, she still can't afford a proper mic, but then she could find one, thankfully, secondhand much later that really helped with the audio quality. Thank God for that.
So the first time we started recording, I think, Ankita, you've mentioned this on your blog, right? How I thought you were some sort of socially awkward human being. Yeah. And I was trying to be really friendly with you, but you had this like constant blank, pale stare. And your expression never changed. So I'd be like, Ankita, are you hungry? Ankita, are you comfortable in your closet? Are you happy? Are you happy with doing this? And the only thing that you would say would be, yeah, I'm fine.
I would actually respond to your questions. I mean, I would smile and respond, but I never asked anything back. I never took the conversation forward. That's one thing that I suck at.
But that's the thing. It felt like you just didn't want to do this with me. I felt like I had forced you to do this. So just to reflect on Ankita's cold behavior and anti-meal energy, please listen to this recording.
Welcome to the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita Narayan.
And I'm Meenal Viz.
And in this pilot episode, we want to get to know you. But first, you need to get to know us. So we're going to tell you all about us.
That's right, Ankita. Yeah, I don't know how I talk to this girl.
Yeah, who's that? Who's that cold-hearted sociopath called Ankita in that recording? I hate her. I don't know her.
I didn't give up. I still try to keep the energy levels up.
That's right, Meenal.
Oh my God.
That's right, Ankita.
Oh my God. I can't believe I used to say stuff like that. Like, that's right, Ankita.
Oh, before we move on, I also want to tell our listeners that there was a time when we were just deciding what we want to say in the introductions. Like in the beginning, how we say, welcome to episode
Ankita,
whatever.
Please don't say this. Ankita, please.
And I always insisted on saying my whole name. I have no idea why, but I love my name. So I always wanted to say, I'm Ankita Narayan. And Meenal did not want to say her whole name for some reason, but she wanted to sound cool. So in the first recording of the pilot episode, Meenal said, I be Meenal. I'm Ankita Narayan. And I be Meenal.
Well, Ankita, I think what I did was less of a offense to the way you acted in the pilot episode.
Like, oh, yeah.
That wasn't half as bad as to the way you
were. I be Meenal is just comical, but me being Ankita Narayan in there.
Yeah, I just wanted to say your full name. Like you were some teacher. Like, I'm Ankita Narayan. I'm going to tell you everything about Desi Outsiders.
Yeah, I love my name.
So another thing that we realized while we were reminiscing about this past year is that Shane needs to sit with us while we were recording, at least for most of the episodes. So initially he was like our censor board.
Yeah, because we were quite naive and we were sometimes very blunt and undiplomatic. And we would say these these things, a lot of which did make it into the final product, but Shane tried to make sure that we didn't say anything that could get us a lot of hate, at least initially.
And speaking of Shane sitting through recording sessions, I just want everybody to know that he only sat there because Ankita made him. And we recorded about 6 or 7 episodes. Just to let you know, before the podcast was even released, we had 6 or 7 episodes totally ready. All thanks to Ankita's rigiditis.
I remember how even before we properly spoke to each other about the podcast and the idea, you know, because at the time we were waiting for you to travel back to Prague from Gibraltar and settle into your 5th year at medical school. So before you even got to Prague, I got a little too overexcited and I sent you a photograph from my notebook, and I still have that notebook to this day. And I had already mapped out the content for the first season. You know, I had a timeline for the first 4 seasons of the podcast up until December 2017. And the whole concept of, you know, let's just go with the flow and see what happens, that was completely alien to me. You know, did I scare you with all the lists?
Well, I honestly thought, well, it's better than working with someone who's totally relaxed and totally lazy. I always like working with people who are proactive. You were proactive, but on like on another different level that I just wasn't aware of. I didn't know that existed.
See, these are your responsibilities and these are my responsibilities. Yeah. I'm just going to take care of everything and then you listen to what I tell you.
That's exactly what it was like. And I mean, I'd rather have someone on their toes 24/7 bugging me to keep moving. Honestly, I'd much rather have that rather than having someone who would sit around and wait for things to happen. Because I have worked with people on both ends of the scale, and I'd much rather work with someone who's bugging me all the time to make things happen. But I think, to be fair, we have a good balance now. I don't know if you agree with me, but you know, there are visions that I have for Feminism India and the podcast that I push you to move forward with, and there are visions you have that you push me with. So I think now there's a healthy balance, and I think now when we have ideas, a lot of the times I'll tell you my idea, but then I'll just do it. Like I
That's my Mino. That's right, Mino. You know, but going back to the crazy, I'm pretty sure that at the time you thought it was unnecessary. And looking back, I personally feel that it was unnecessary too. But we recorded all those episodes about 2 months in advance because I thought that we couldn't take any chances with the time it would take to edit each episode because we hadn't done this before. We didn't know. And we had to control all the things that we could possibly control because there were so many other things that were completely out of our control. And the main downside, I would say, was that the system we had in place, it was too rigid, thanks to my rigiditis. And that meant that when something significant happened in the world, like Trump getting elected as the president, we couldn't release an episode with our thoughts on that same week because we already had recorded everything. I mean, there were just so many technical things.
Yeah, but you know, actually, that was a big concern for me as well, but I didn't want to, at least for the first 2 months, it was more of like, let's test the waters. Let's see what it's like working with Ankita. Let's see how our episodes do. And I'm not the type of person who would say anything too soon. Like, if something seems funny to me, I have to confirm it in my head before I say anything. But I'm sure that nobody really noticed. In fact, a lot of my friends at university and back at home, they kind of saw this as an educational tool to learn more about our culture. So we did receive a lot of love and very little hate, I think, at the beginning. I think it's safe to say that. But there was this one episode that we released, episode 3, I think, and it was the untold story of a younger daughter, and I had told a story about someone I knew, and one of our listeners didn't appreciate what I said, so just have a listen to what I said.
Very controlling over her, and her brother started to hack her social media accounts. He started to hack Facebook, Twitter, Gmail, Instagram. I don't know what he hacked.
Oh my god. Yeah. What boundaries?
And her brother, who's hitting almost 30 now, did all these things. And it wasn't that he accessed all this without any permission. It was that he printed everything out and he presented it to her parents. So on paper, they see everything. All the conversations that she's had with this boy.
There's more?
Yeah, Ankita. He raised his hand on his younger sister. Now, I'm telling you the story and I'm getting goosebumps because it's so difficult for me to perceive this happening in Europe, especially in Europe.
And here's what I said in response to that. If he could do that to his sister, then how can any girl ever marry him or be with him. And dear girls who are listening to this, please be careful. Just because a boy was raised abroad or just because he lives abroad and he has this fancy job and he was educated abroad doesn't mean that you're going to have a good life with him, because these kind of assholes exist. I cannot help but call this guy like the biggest asshole in the world for doing something like this. Not only did he access all of that information, he printed it out, showed it to the parents, and then physically abused his sister. Now, soon after this episode was aired, we received our first hate mail where this guy from India tried to justify the actions of a man who beat his younger sister up. And he was enraged that I had called this man an asshole. And what this person from India was saying was, try looking at the whole thing from the brother's perspective. He was saying that maybe this brother in question was just having a bad day, or that he'd gone through a bad breakup himself, so he felt a little jealous that his sister had a boyfriend.
But that was the first time it struck us that there's a lot of power in personal stories. And this guy who sent us that ridiculous email, some reason justifying such horrendous actions, was worked up enough to want to try and justify it. And the story had affected him in some way, whatever response it led to, but it may or may not have changed his perspective on things. But the key is that it made him think, and it occupied enough space in his mind to want to draft us a long email. And I think this was a big point for Ankita and I. We realized that stories and sharing other people's experiences is what we wanted to do. And, well, we started off sharing our stories and then we moved on to sharing other people's stories, but we'll get to that later.
You know, but with all that said, guess what didn't make people think too much, because we ourselves didn't put a lot of thought into it? Our brain dumps.
And the worst thing is, our first ever brain dump on this episode was, oh my god, it was a YouTube video. And it sounds awful, because in audio, when you just listen to it as an audio, nobody knows what's really happening. You need the visuals to follow the flow and, you know, the sequence of events that are happening.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you watch the video, you know that, well, we are laughing, although no sound is coming out, we are actually laughing silently, or that we have these hand gestures or facial expressions that are doing all the communication with us or for us. But when you're just listening to the audio, what we did was we extracted the audio from the YouTube video and put it up as a podcast episode. And that is just ridiculous. And oh my god, and by this point, the reason why we did a brain dump for episode 7, I remember, is because we realized that we needed a little break from all the big topics that we tackled in the first 6 episodes. You know, we talked about love, marriage, and we even covered everything up to career choices in Desi communities. So before jumping into even bigger topics like menstrual hygiene and sex education, we wanted to just relax and have a fun chat without planning anything. And it was a disaster.
And Ankita, this is when we knew we had to script, because if you just listen to this next little snippet, you will realize that you'll understand why we have to script, because I literally said the same thing, but in different sentences.
But remember how we were over ambitious at one point and we wanted to release even YouTube videos every week? You know, that cannot possibly work out when we're in 2 different countries, but we still wanted to do it.
The hours that Shane had to put in to edit videos while we were both in 2 different countries, making sure that they are aligned correctly, and it is almost the same as editing an hour-long podcast episode, I think. And, you know, I'm glad that Shane just told us you can't do it anymore, because I think it just wasn't worth the investment.
Yeah, for anyone who might be thinking what the big deal is, we have to record videos separately from 2 different countries, right? And then we put these videos together and make sure that they align both audio-wise and video-wise so that a conversation actually flows.
Mm.
And it's just too hard. It's not like we're sitting in the same room and recording a video using the same camera or same equipment. It's just like a lot of work. So, which is the reason why, like Meenal said, I'm glad that Shane said he can't do this anymore. He can't do video and audio. Anyway, so Shane, as you know, was very much involved in the behind-the-scenes work, but we did decide to have him on one of the episodes, and this was about periods.
And I guess this was like, I guess you can say this was one of our very first real interviews.
I'm pretty sure we're going to say that a couple of times in the coming few minutes.
Yeah. Everything
because we consider a few of the episodes to be our first real interview.
But if you just listen to this snippet, I think it's quite clear that Shane literally didn't give 2 hoots about our initial episodes. He just wanted to help us. He was just very kind. And if you just listen to the snippet, I think it's pretty clear. So, Shane, welcome to the podcast. It's finally nice to see your face
while we record and not just have you backstage doing all the editing? And how does it feel to be part of the more fun part of the podcast?
I'm usually sleeping while you guys are recording, so this is super frustrating right now.
But now, on the other hand, Shane seems quite invested in the interviews and conversations, right, Ankita? I think, oh my god, I said it again.
That's right, Ankita. Yeah, he is, because he really sees the value in learning from other people's experiences, no matter what the topic is. When someone actually talks and opens up and shares their story, how often do you just sit with your friends and ask them their story, right? Mm. How many people know their own friend's journey?
And not just a story, but just like chronologically going from start to finish.
And how they got to where they are, which is what they say.
Ankita and I had been talking about interviewing people for a while, but that really felt like a distant dream because, well, we never felt we were up to scratch, and neither did we think that, I don't know, people would be interested in listening to a third party because there's already enough for two of us.
But our first official interview, which was with Abhishant Kidangur, who's a journalist in New York, you know, he's a family friend of mine and honestly one of my closest friends in the world. When that interview aired, everyone was really happy that this is something new. This is something new that we've brought to the table and you can listen to someone else speak. And to this day, my mom says that we got so many amazing guests on our show later on because Abhishant was a lucky first guest to have. And I kind of want to believe that too, because he was just a lucky person to have on the show first. And so many amazing people agreed to come to us when we were literally nowhere with the podcast.
And I remember recording this episode, Ankita, and this is about 10 days before that big exam that I had in December. And Abhishant's recording devices were tricky to fix. And I remember that whilst the three of us were fixing things, including me, you, Abhishant, and I think Shane was somewhere in the background, I had my book open in front of me and I was learning about hemoglobin. Like, talk about desperate times, like studying whilst you're preparing for an interview.
Yeah, I also remember you asking him about exams and time management because he's a journalist and managing time can be tricky. And even today, I was speaking to Abhishant the other day and he still has a weird sleep schedule. So you were asking him about time management and things like that.
Well, but when we moved on to season two, I was just about finishing my winter semester exams. And finally, I had a bit more time to invest in the podcast. And we had a lot of ideas, Ankita. We were listing things like weekly, like let's do this, let's do that. And we had a new direction to take with the podcast based on all the lessons that we learned in season one. So first of all, no more recording 10 episodes in advance as Ankita's rigiditis was slowly being cured through my calm demeanor.
Oh, of course, you want to take credit for the of fact course. That I evolved as a human being. Not my husband.
You're like a Pokemon.
Not my parents, right? Like all these years of nurturing me and bringing me up.
They
and
couldn't do it.
Me and they couldn't do it. Not I my parents, it. Not my husband. You did it. You want to take credit for that. Meenal Weas did it. I be Meenal did it. Anyway, we decided to go with the flow for the first time with season two. And we were taking things one week at a time. So the first thing, obviously, was that we wouldn't record in advance. The second thing was that we wouldn't extract audio from YouTube videos. Because during season one, honestly, that brain dump was not the only audio that we extracted from a YouTube video. We did the talk. And we did a couple of others that we took straight from the YouTube video and put it as an audio on the podcast. Yeah, if you go cringing, back and listen to it.
I'm cringing so bad right now.
I hope you guys don't go back and listen to those because they actually make
They probably will. I think people are going to cut off like 2 minutes into this episode and go back to everything. So all our hits this week will be from all the other episodes.
Especially the brain dumps and the YouTube videos that were converted into audio. That's what people are going to listen to. Anyway, the final thing that we decided to do with season two was we decided to keep each episode under 30 minutes because at this stage, we were still experimenting and we didn't know what our audience really wanted. So we thought that maybe people would enjoy it because we did receive a little bit of feedback from people saying that episodes that are shorter are easier to listen to while you're on a commute and you can just finish it off on the go. And, you know, we decided to make each episode under 30 minutes, and episode 17, which is called Redefining Feminism, you can go back and check this, but it is only 14 minutes and 54 seconds long. That's just the other extreme. That is probably my rigiditis.
we can never strike a balance, Ankita.
The
problem is that we were not sure what our audience wanted. In fact, we're still not sure what people want to hear. And as much as we want to record what we truly feel is necessary, we also want to make sure that our listeners enjoy the content because ultimately it is for you guys. This is why we're here.
Which is why, you know, because we still can't figure out what's happening. It's still a mystery to us why episode 22 on Mother's Day did so well. You won't believe this, but that one episode did almost as well as Ajit George's interview did in 1 week. And back then, that was huge. You know, we had no idea why that one episode did so well. I guess people were just curious to find out if you were pregnant, you know. People just wanted to know if the ultrasound would reveal, like, tiny table tennis bats or something.
Trust me, if this ever happens, the world will know. Because the world's greatest table tennis players are entering the planet, so don't worry. And that's the mystery of working with an audience on the internet, right? And oh my god, I was going to say, that's
right, Ankita? That's right, Ankita.
But we've spent hours... Okay, can I just clear something? I feel like I have to say right, Ankita, because I just want to feel like we're in the same place. It sounds like we're close to each other, but anyway.
No, right, Ankita is okay. It's not that's right, Ankita.
That's right, Ankita is worse. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to what we were talking about. That's the mystery of working with an audience on the internet. I mean, we spent hours scripting some episodes, and they just didn't turn out as well as we expected. But then sometimes we recorded on a whim because, well, we just didn't have the creative juices flowing, and somehow they were our best episodes. So really, there's no formula when it comes to these sorts of things. And I see a lot of clickbaity titles on YouTube videos, and it's clear that they're doing really well, but the content is so awful that I would pay not to watch it. So we're still looking for a formula where our content isn't sacrificed and we can still reach out to many more people because, well, our stories and conversations can truly benefit a lot of listeners. And we say this with confidence because it's definitely helped Ankita and myself to listen to these stories and speak to these people.
And it was only towards the end of season 2, after the Mother's Day episode, that things began to change for Desi Outsiders. We'd initially planned to have one guest per season, but it was at the end of season 2 that we actually got 3 guests on our show out of nowhere.
Yeah, and the first guest was Isha Malkani from La Sia Dance. And I'd say she was we keep saying this, like the first proper interview. But I think this was the first proper interview for you, Ankita.
Yeah.
Because she was my friend and I knew quite a lot about her, but you were going to be talking to a stranger, which back then for you was just a huge milestone. And I know how you used to feel about talking to other people with your rigiditis and all of that.
You know, to add insult to injury, we didn't even prepare too well because I think we just, at that stage, we were talking to people we already knew. We spoke to Shane, we spoke to Abhishan, so we just took it for granted that
Actually, Ankita, we know them. I looked back at some of our scripts and, for example, Anjali Menon and all the latest ones, most of the scripts are 7-8 pages long.
Yeah.
Isha, like no disrespect if you're listening, but we had just put out 8 questions for you in one A4 page because we just weren't prepared. Like, and
I hadn't even looked up the meaning of the word lasya, and that was so embarrassing on the episode. You know, let's listen to a clip right now.
My lasya, I don't know if you guys know what that means. Do you know what it means?
It's a dance that I think Parvati performed, right?
Yeah, good. Yes.
I did my research, Isha.
So good.
Ankita was just waiting for me to answer.
No, I was like, I wanted to ask you that question.
That was so unprofessional of me. I'm cringing all the way. I can't listen to that.
But then it got things got a bit better when we got Priyanka Madan on the show.
Yeah, so Priyanka is also a close friend of mine. She's a childhood friend of mine. And you know that thing we do where we chronologically go through the timeline of a guest's lives? You know, that started with this interview. Not because we'd done a lot of research, but because, like I said, Priyanka was my childhood best friend. So it was easy for me to just chronologically list what happened in her life and ask her questions based on that.
And it was the first interview where we did a thorough job of sharing a guest story by highlighting the inspirational aspects of it. I think it kind of laid the foundation for all interviews and probably even raised the bar, I'd say.
Yeah, sure, because after that came the first proper interview.
The first proper interview.
God. It came the first proper interview with Simar Singh, because finally we were with someone that neither of us knew. He was a stranger to both of us, and that was scary.
And I just want to share with our listeners the day that we were supposed to record with Simar, right? Simar, if you're listening, this is going to be hilarious for you to listen to. But we decided to speak to Simar at around 6 p.m. And we had the script ready. Everything was ready. Like, we just had to press record, basically, and just do the interview. Yeah. Ankita got me on Skype at 5:15, 45 minutes before. And I'm sitting here on Skype like, what the hell am I supposed to do with my life for 45 minutes? So I'm talking to Ankita, cracking jokes. And she's like, Neil, stop. You have to focus. I'm like, Focus for what? We have so much time before he comes online. And he wasn't even online.
I was so worked up. Up until then, we'd only spoken to people that at least one of us knew personally. And I was really tensed about talking to this boy. And remember what you said to calm me down? You said, I'm pretty sure you don't remember this. You said, Ankita, he's just a 16-year-old boy. Teenage boys are disgusting. And I have no idea why you said that. And I have no idea how that was meant to calm me down, but it did. I think what you meant was that, listen, you're a grown woman and this is a teenager. And teenagers are just like playing cricket or something. And you don't have to tense to.
And the reason I said that was like, you know, when I go for my medical exams, which are oral exams, you know, the teachers there, everyone is so scared. They're all like, well, they probably did a poop in the morning like you. They brushed their teeth like you. They had a shower. They had breakfast and they're sitting down. They're not these abnormal human beings sent from God.
They're all still human. And you can talk to us fellow human beings, is what you said.
Yeah. And I think things got better when we moved on to season 3. We talk about season 3. I think the first episode of this season is very, very special to us, and for many reasons. And one of them being that we had an amazing guest, and this was Tina from Mom Boss of 3. And I just want to say that, you know, Ankita and I, if wherever we are in 10 years or 20 years, you know, this is the kind of person we want to be, and that's Tina. That no matter how many things you've accomplished in your life, or even like, you know, Lily Singh is her own sister. You just don't see that coming out of her when she's talking. She's so down to earth. She wants to help. And I think that speaking to someone like Tina made me realize that wherever we are in 10 or 20 years, we should always be grounded.
Yep. And talking to Tina, first of all, the fact that Tina even replied to us, you do remember that we sent an email to her on a whim out of curiosity to see whether someone like her would agree to come on our show. And that very day, we received a response from her.
It was a Friday. Saying that she, I remember.
Yeah, it was. She immediately said, yeah, sure, girls, let's do it. And it was a prompt reply. We never expected it. And throughout our correspondence, I can say that to this day, we haven't had a guest who was so professional. Tina would reply immediately. She was extremely professional, and I really look up to her for that. So the first thing about season 3, episode 1, was our interview with Tina was, we got this amazing guest. We were lucky. And the second thing is that we switched to a media platform. Actually, a media platform took us over, and platform called Audio Boom decided to, you know, host our episodes for them and run ads. And finally, we've started monetizing our content without having to make you guys pay to listen to this podcast.
And the third thing about this episode was that we were going to have a new member on the team editing these podcasts, but for whatever reason, that didn't work out. So Shane finally thought, actually Shane and Ankita thought that they could finally take a break from these weekly all-nighters, but unfortunately that's not the case because it just didn't work out with this new editor of ours. And I remember when this new editor had edited the podcast and sent it to us a day before we were supposed to release it, I was studying for my surgery final, which was within the next 5 days. So Ankita calls me whilst I'm studying in the library with a friend of mine. And she's like, oh my God, man, like this episode didn't sound good. And I'm like, Ankita, it's Wednesday, 5 p.m. Like, calm your tits because we still have a lot of time. And she's like, Mila, I haven't eaten all day. I'm like, bitch, I haven't eaten in like 4 weeks because I've had these exams. What were we talking about again?
We were talking about season 2. Episode 1.
Season 3.
Season 3, episode 1.
Oh my God, wow. Let me just have a sip of water.
But this was also, when season 3 started out, it might be interesting to note that we really did not know that this was going to be the season when we'd go interviewing guests full on. We didn't have that kind of a plan because for the next episode that we released after Tina's episode was actually not an interview, and we had no plan. We just went with the flow, and it was based on an email that we received from a listener asking us to talk about breakups. And that was just a really funny episode, and I'm really glad we did it.
And Ankita, I'm going to play a clip of you explaining this in quotations, this relationship you had in high school, so that we know who the real loser is over here.
Yeah, because I did say that I was a cool teenager who had a boyfriend in high school, and you were just like a table tennis geek.
Yeah, just listen to this clip.
I started dating him after he changed school, so we both had a crush on each other, right? Like, we were friends, but we never dated while he was in the same school. But then he left, and before leaving, he asked me out, and I said yes. And I was like, okay, let's start dating. And he left school. And then I never saw him again. No, but the thing is,
oh my god, that's so. I'm sorry, Angela. Like literally a minute ago, you were like, "Oh my god, Meal's such a loser." So that, I don't think that was one of Ankita's proudest moments, but I think I'm speaking for both of us when I say that one of our proudest moments since we started this podcast was when we had interviewed Amandeep Singh from Inquisitive, and Amandeep commended us for doing our research very well, and then he went to share exclusive information with us for the first time on our podcast.
My God, you've done your research. Wow.
You can call it research, you can call it stalking.
Yeah, you can call it anything.
Professional stalking going in. I love it. yes, I did go through that. And that's why I made the point earlier on that it's very difficult to make a profession, because I've never, ever shared this in my life. I'm about to do it for the first time now in this interview.
Ooh, exclusive. It was also the first time we began to realize how all these immensely successful people were also the most humble and down-to-earth people. Because like you mentioned about Tina, I will always go back to Amandeep's interview as well. Because these are people who've made it in life, right? And they're so down-to-earth, so humble, so kind, and so friendly and nice. It was just an eye-opener for both of us.
And I actually thought at that point that things were sort of in place now, like everything was in check, we have a system, our audio is pretty good quality, and you know, technically, in like in the technical terms of editing this podcast and stuff, we're fine. Then we go into Tia Bhatia's episode, and I had to try a new software that Shane recommended because it would be easier for him to edit, and like Ankita knows this, I try my best to make things as easy for Shane as possible, because I can't help with editing, but at least if I make things easy, I will try my best. So Shane recommended this new software called Pamela. Now I call her Pamela Auntie because she acts like such a little bitch and like so annoying.
It's Pamela Auntie.
Pamela Auntie, yeah. Not Pamela Auntie.
No, it's Pamela Auntie.
So I had to use Pamela, the software. And like, if you go back to Tia Bhatia's episode, on the whole, it sounds okay, but there's this one point that I sound like a witch laughing, and it sounds like I'm screaming from my grave, because Ankita mentioned she has a similar birth date as Tia, and the only thing I say is, oh my god, and just listen to it, because it sounds like I'm haunting someone.
I was born on the 16th.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. That was something. Oh. Yeah, Meena, you know, this has to go into the list of things that you've said, like, I be Meena, and that's right, Ankita. Then, oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So, Ankita, hold your horses a bit, because you're like, kind of taking the piss out of me, and let's just go back to your rigid dietus, because when we interviewed Anjali Menon.
Okay, wait. Okay, wait, before you go, I know what's coming. I already know what's coming. So I just want to make a point here. Getting to interview Anjali Menon was a dream come true. I never thought it would happen. I never thought she would respond. She's a personal hero of mine. And I was like, oh my God, we have to make sure this episode is perfect. But, okay, go on.
So Anjali Menon is a Malayali film director, for those who are not aware. Now, I've never watched Malayali films, and I'm not a fan of watching three-hour films. I'm going to be completely honest. But lucky for me, Anjali decided that all of them should be 3 hours long. Now, Ankita said that I had to sit through every single film. Now, I just want to note that I was training for my competition in Sweden, so I'm training about 4 hours every day. But you know, Ankita didn't give a shit. She didn't give a shit. She's like, this girl has to sit through 3 hours and watch these films. Now, it was a Saturday.
Do you remember the time when I actually made a timetable for you and I said, Meena, if you watch this movie now, and then you can go to bed after watching this movie, and then you can wake up and watch this movie.
You were just saying that on June the 1st, that's when your Brigiditis ended. But I sense it coming back. So I had 48 hours to watch basically 9 hours of Malayali film. And don't get me wrong, Anjali is an amazing director. I love her films, and I really love everything that she stands up for. In fact, like now I've become such a big fan of Malayali films that they've just deviated me away from like all the Bollywood stuff that I would watch from time to time. I had to watch every film, and I have to confess something to you, Ankita, that remember the last film I had to watch? What was it called?
Ustad Hotel.
So it was 12 p.m. and you said, Meenal, you have to watch it by 4 p.m. on Sunday. And I'm like, Ankita, I'm at home in Gibraltar, in sunny Gibraltar. I have a beach 10 minutes away from me. And at midday, when it's broad daylight, the sun is shining, you're going to make me sit at home and watch a Malayali film.
You didn't watch it? You told me that you watched it.
Okay.
But you,
Okay, I watched half an hour of it and then I just read a review.
I could actually make, you know what? That one film, Ustad Hotel, it's especially the kind of film that would have generated a kind of reaction in you. And I was sure, I was waiting for that reaction and I wanted to know what you thought of it because you're the kind, that film was made for someone like you.
Really?
It would definitely, yeah, that film would definitely have some sort of reaction in you and you didn't have that reaction. So I was slightly suspicious that, why is Meena like not having a reaction? But then you came and said that, well, I don't really enjoy 3-hour films. So I thought maybe the length of the film and the fact that you'd been binging all these movies in one go, it probably diminished the effect it could have had on you.
Mm.
So I did suspect it.
Oh my god. Next time you should just catch me out because I would be so funny. Because you know I would admit it to you.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, I didn't watch it.
I'm like, did you really watch it? And you'd be like, sorry, mommy, I didn't.
But on the Monday, we had to interview at 5:30 a.m. BST and it was 6:30 my time in Gibraltar.
Yeah.
And I think I went to bed at like my usual time of going to bed, especially during the holidays, is 1 a.m., 2 a.m.
Yeah.
But Ankita went to bed at 8:30 p.m. the night before.
9 p.m. You know what happened? That night, I still remember, that night before the interview, because I knew I had to wake up at 4:30 so that I could interview Anjali at 5:30 so I could get a coffee and like be relaxed and go through the script again. That night when I went to bed, I obviously read the script again before going to bed.
Yeah.
And I felt like I used to feel right before my exams during college.
Really?
Where by 5 p.m., 6 p.m., I would be done with like the entire syllabus, I would cover everything that I had to study. I'd be thorough with it. And all I had to do was wake up the next morning and go to appear for my exam. And I used to get like 10, 12 hours of sleep the night before my exams because I would be well rested. Because
good,
I
would get just, good sleep, like quality sleep.
Quality sleep. I would get a lot of sleep and I would go to my exams because I would be that thorough with what I had prepared.
Oh my God.
So that's exactly how I felt the day before this exam because the day before this interview because I felt I was so thoroughly prepared. All I have to do is get good sleep, wake up in the morning and be there. And that's exactly what I did. It was amazing. It was so satisfying.
Well, I woke up really tired and really not, I wouldn't say pissed off, but it was very difficult for me to record at home, Ankita, because you have to remember that I'm living with other people. So
yeah, you were in Gibraltar with your parents.
Yeah, and like you can't, it's not nice to wake someone up at 6:30 in the morning. Like for example, my dad, he usually wakes up at 8. And to wake him up at 6:30 on a Monday through my noise and then for him to have to spend 12 hours at work, it just wasn't fair. So I was trying to be really quiet while recording, but I really regret doing that, you know, because you're so clear in the episode that when you listen and you go back to it, I think that was probably just one of my worst performances and I really screwed it up with Anjali.
My mom actually mentions that usually Meena's the one who's so hyper and so energetic, but this time, for some reason, Ankita sounds more energetic than Meena. And
yeah,
I think people did realize that. But well, it was a good experience because we got to have such an amazing guest on the show. And another thing about Anjali, I just want to mention quickly, is that she was actively involved in the research phase.
Yeah, she was
She was one of those guests who sent us her like links to her movies and how to watch. She actually sent us a link where we just had to enter a password and we could watch it with subtitles and nobody else can
access
it. No one can access
so,
it.
So you know,
she
like
interested.
Speaking of professional guests that we had, even Snehal Pradhan, you know, when we interviewed her, she was traveling and she was willing to sit in an airport and conduct an interview, and that's amazing, you know, Ankita, because like, you know, when this for them is not a big deal, but for us it is. And when people sort of understand that and get to that level with us and want to make it.
Snehal was literally in like an airport in Abu Dhabi and she was trying to log into the Wi-Fi there so that she could give us this interview. And we were like, you know what, Snehal? Just get home.
Yeah.
Just get home and be calm and like, don't be so tired and worked up. Let's just. And the best thing was that Meena and I were in the same room while interviewing Snehal. That was the first time ever.
Yeah. And you know, interviewing people in the same room is so much better. We interviewed Aditi Gupta from Menstrupedia in the same room. And I remember this interview because that day we were talking about, you know, trying to get onto a show where people can know about us. Because we feel that through our channels, we're still not reaching to enough people. And it isn't a case of, oh, we want people to know about us. We just want people to listen to these stories we have to share. Because, you know, they're so valuable. And right after interviewing Aditi, we spent about half an hour talking about BBC Asian Network, just like, you know, a casual
normal conversation and maybe even daydreaming a little bit. Hey, what would it be like if we managed to get on the show?
This was my last day in Edinburgh as well. And I remember that we just went out for dinner. We came back from dinner and I had a message from my friend. And she's like, oh, you know, do you want to get on BBC Asia Network? It was just like the universe had settled all the stars for us.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was woo-woo. And I still believe that Desi Outsiders has had many such woo-woo moments.
Mm.
And I will all... At one of these woo-woo moments, it was when Nishant Joshi from Alt Cricket came on the show. And again, let's just talk about Nishant for a minute.
Yeah.
His interview, which was supposed to be a one-hour interview, because Nishant is such an amazing storyteller, we didn't even realize the time just flying by. It was 2 hours by the time he was done with his story. And we had to make it a two-parter because we thought it was too long.
Mm.
And it was the most honest, raw story that we've ever shared. Like, he never held back, but we totally bullied him. So let's listen to this clip of us bullying Nishant, or him getting irritated by us bullying him a little too much. You won't get as good as us at the professional stalking thing.
That is true.
You're the Desi aunties, but you're also judge, jury, and bloody executioners as well. Jesus. Judgy okay. McJudgersons.
But coming back to the woo-woo that I was talking about is right after Nishant asked us on our show, has anyone cried on this podcast? We got Ajit George on the podcast. And, well, here's what happened.
We were in a place where it didn't look like... we were in a place where it didn't look like the family was going to survive financially, and were unable to pay back all the debts we had. And I think about the kids telling me often that their fathers commit suicide because they're so deeply in debt and they don't know a way out.
And you know, Ankita, when Ajit got emotional about his story, and I don't blame him because I got emotional as well. I felt something in my gut when he was talking, and I had to compose myself. Obviously, you can't see me when we're doing this interview because we do it without a video. But I had to like take a step back and just be like, okay, Minal, like, you know, just control yourself. And speaking to Ajit was probably one of the most humbling interviews I've ever done, because not only has he achieved a lot, not only has his father achieved a lot, or even his grandmother, but despite everything they've been through and despite everything they have at their disposal, they've given their world to these kids in Tamil Nadu and Shanti Bhavan, the school. And I really, again, I'm going to say this again, if you're going to go back and listen to an interview, listen to Ajit George's interview, because this story really is just amazing, moving, and inspirational. And I remember speaking to Ankita about just Desi Outsiders as a whole. Like, you know, where are we moving with this podcast? Are we just going to sit here and interview people every week? Because ultimately it's going to die down. You know, you, as content creators, you have to keep bringing something new to the table to keep your listeners and your audience going with you guys. But then we interviewed Ajit. And then as soon as that interview finished, I just said to Ankita, like, this is why we're doing this. And we should never be thinking like, what if, what do we do in 1 year, in 2 years? Because stories like this keep coming to us. And,
you know, you mentioned everything that Ajit achieved, his dad achieved, and his grandmother achieved, and all these people in his family have achieved everything. And the most interesting thing to me is that they went on to enable so many poor kids to achieve similar things.
Mm.
Like, achieve greatness.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's it for us to be able to talk to him and to be able to share the story, as you said.
And when we were talking to Ajit, I kind of felt some sort of connection, because he was saying that when his father was working with the army, he saw some injustice happening around him in some societies, and it sort of got under his skin. And when he said. He said it got under his skin. And that completely connected with me, because this is why we started Desi Outsiders, because there were certain things that got under my skin, certain things that got under your skin. And it felt like Ajit was talking to me, you know?
Yeah.
He was like putting his hand on my shoulder, being like, Minal, I get you.
Yeah.
And right after Ajit, we had Jayashree, and I felt the exact same thing. It was like she was speaking right to us.
Yeah, we're talking about Jayashree Mishra, the writer Jayashree Mishra, who, again, it was another dream come true. As a literature student myself, and as someone who did her final year master's project on Jayashree Mishra's book Rani, this interview, I just felt like I was sitting in a room and talking to her, and there could be nothing more I could ask for.
And I remember when she called you a good reader, because you analyzed some specific things.
Yeah, she called me a good reader. I think it would help my ego if we could play that clip for everyone once again.
Very good reader, I must say. I should be very grateful to readers like you, because you kind of describe it almost better than I could. You know, I...
And you know, Jayashree was the kind of person where she is significantly older than Ankita and I. Like, no disrespect, Jayashree auntie, but like, you're a bit older than us. So obviously we were a bit intimidated. Like, this woman
She's slightly older than my mum.
Yeah, so she's seen more of the world. She's seen a lot of things in her life. So I felt quite intimidated to speak to her. But when we... So I remember there was a point where Jayashree was talking about, I think, cooking for her husband or being a feminist or whatever. And I wanted to say something, but I wasn't sure if it was me speaking out of place or if it sounded cocky or rude or whatever. But, you know, I just went ahead and said it. And I said, you know what, Jayashree, you don't have to feel a specific way about being a feminist. And after she heard that, she was like, that's a good point, Meenal. And that was like a really proud moment for me because I thought, you know, like, she actually gets what we're about. And it's so difficult to find people in that generation to understand what we stand up for and what we're doing.
She was just born in the wrong era. I mean, everything that she went through in life, I feel like a lot of it would have been tempered down if she was born in our generation, because that's the spirit that lives in her.
Yeah.
That's the person she is deep down. She's like us. When we were talking to her, sure, we had a lot of respect in our hearts for her because of everything she's achieved and for the experience that she had. But it did feel like we were just sitting with a girlfriend and having a chat.
Yeah.
Wow, it's been one hell of a year, right, Meenal?
That's right, Ankita.
Oh my God, we had to end it on that note.
But I think, you know, reminiscing back on this year, I just want to say to all our listeners that thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of our journey. And thank you for sticking with us through the ups and downs and the cringy moments. And I'm sure there've been points where you'd be like, you know what, I just want to click out. But you've come back the week after.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. And I also want to take this moment to thank Shane for editing the podcast and spending all those nights for nothing really. And he only does that just for our happiness. And I cannot thank Shane enough for working so hard for us.
Really, thanks to everyone who has supported us, sent us emails, sent us hate mail, everything. It's just been so encouraging, even the hate mail.
I'd like to thank God for bringing me.
So I don't want to make it too emotional or cringy. Maybe a year from now, you listen to this episode.
I actually have like this feeling in my heart right now that we've made it this far. It's 1 year on and I don't know where we're going to be next year. I could be working in a hospital somewhere. I don't know where the CSIDs is going to be. But wherever it will be, I'm very confident that we'll be better and we'll be bigger. And it will only get to that stage because I know that our listeners will always be with us throughout this journey.
You know, I want to put a little bit of woo-woo out into this world. Next year, we will have another reminiscing podcast episode about the second year. And at that point, hopefully, A, we will be recording from the same room. And B, Meenal will at least be in the UK so that we can travel to each other every now and then.
All right,
just putting it up.
Or I could be training my kids in table tennis.
You're gonna have a kid in the months. Next year. By 2018, you're gonna have a kid.
Oh my God!
Did you find a dad?
I have 3 months.
You have 3 months to get pregnant now. Way to ruin my JM right now. I'm just putting some boo boo out there.
So until season 4, I can't believe I'm saying this, but until season 4, we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for tuning in. If you have any questions, any ideas, anything you want to say to us, you can find us on Facebook at DC Outsiders, or you can drop us a mail to mail@dcoutsiders.com.
And for this season especially, we would appreciate it if you could also suggest a few people that you would like us to interview, because we are always open for options.
So until season 4, I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.
It was so emotional.
I was getting quite emotional at the end. Did you see me? I was like, thanks to Shane.
Thanks to Shane. I couldn't have done without him.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone. Thanks to my parents. Not so much. Thanks to Nishi. Not so much. Thanks to...
Oh, wow, Ankita.
Okay, stop the recording.
Oh, I have like retarded fighters. Shit.